Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts.
Charlie, man, thank you so much for jumping on. Welcome to the Ivy Podcast.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. How's it going?
It is good. I'm glad I got on your calendar, and I appreciate the time, man. So for the listeners, Charlie is the founder and CEO of Blue Wave Resource Partners, which is an IT staffing recruiting firm up in Orlando. He also is part of Project Orlando, which is a philanthropic group that really kind of drives business and new businesses and investment and entrepreneurship into Orlando. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's good. Projectorlando.io is our... Yeah, and then Blue Wave Investment Partners works hand in hand with the philanthropy piece. Yep.
Got it. And so, and then he has, like you just said, an investment partner group. Charlie, why don't you give a 2-minute elevator pitch about your background and then obviously the whole Blue Wave Holdings or Blue Wave Industries that you're setting up there.
Maybe someday it'll be Blue Wave Holdings. But so I'm, over 15 plus years in talent acquisition. I just turned 40, so I'm getting old, but I started even earlier than that doing corporate talent acquisition in HR before I moved into the agency world. And I've been in the agency world for about 15 years now. And majority of what I've been involved with has been in some sort of like technology, staffing and recruiting. So technology is a passion of mine. It still is, all the way from an investing perspective to working with really cool tech companies that we help them build their teams and find resources. So I started Blue Wave Resource Partners circa 2014 after being with another agency for about six and a half, 7 years, and kind of made an exit from there to do what I was passionate about. And that's work with really cool tech companies to help build teams. So, So is that kind of a good, I can get much more, so many other investments.
Yeah. You're like, I can see you struggling on which path to take. So let's take the road more commonly tread through the staffing industry.
Yeah.
One of the really cool things I like about Charlie's way of doing business, and just to kind of let you know, I met Charlie, I was a Bullhorn rep covering Florida. Charlie wasn't my account. I didn't sell him. He was already using the software, but just started to engage with him because he was doing really cool things in the community. And that's through Project Orlando, or there was Orlando Tech and Beers. And there was just a number of ways. Yeah. That you were engaging in the community. And I started to drive from South Florida to Orlando, knock, knock, Brightline, please make it a 2-hour train ride. That'd be amazing. It's pretty, pretty great, man. So why don't you talk about how that really helps drive business or help drive your philosophy towards staffing?
Yeah, I've had such a great career in staffing and recruiting, working with so many great companies and been able to make a really good living doing what I do and what I'm good at. And I started realizing that, business isn't all about taking. It's also a lot about giving back. And I think that mindset is really what sort of lended me into getting into the angel investing world, which caused me to create this other entity, Blue Wave Investment Partners, which we're an angel club. We do probably anywhere between 3 to 4 investment deals a year. Check sizes as small as 40,000 and up to 650,000 per investment deal. And I see that as a way to help a startup community, but it really all kind of started when I was looking for ways to get involved in my current ecosystem. What does Blue Wave do that can help, younger companies, start up and be successful? And a lot of times we would work with clients and teach them how to create a successful talent acquisition department, even if it meant that we weren't going to be getting that business, because we kind of just wanted to find ways to be philanthropic and give back to the community. So it has become an essential core in our culture at Blue Wave that we are always somehow involved in some sort of organization that brings value to our community. Right now, the current organization is projectorlando.io. We help connect, market, and fund our existing Central Florida tech ecosystem. And remember, you know, Blue Wave, we do recruiting on a national basis, and a majority of our clients are just really cool technology companies. I mean, we've got some big blue chip clients. You know, one of our biggest technology hiring clients is here in Orlando, and it's one of the happiest places on earth. I don't think I can actually say the name legally, but you know, so we've got some of the big clients that you need the enterprise stuff, but we've got some companies out there that are doing some really innovative and emerging technology stuff. And that's what gets us excited. And so the idea that, well, we're here in Orlando, so why don't we try to rally our local community and see what kind of value we can bring? And it's been very successful. You know, like you said, we partnered with a group called Pandora Systems, and we helped them really scale and take the organization actually national with a group called Tech and Beer, which is TAB now. We helped organize it. We helped launch it. We helped scale it. And actually, I think all of or most of 2019, we were actually solely running it for them. And the grassroots energy and excitement that was behind it. I think Rob, you might've even attended a couple of those events.
Yeah, those are some of those events that I drove myself up there for.
So. Yeah, dude, it was great.
I remember.
I mean, you know, you've got your, so today I sit on the leadership board for Orlando Tech Council, which is part of Orlando Economic Partnership. And I think there's it's a pseudo political entity that is trying to help grow our ecosystem as well. But there's also something to be said about a good grassroots movement where everybody's excited and everybody's kind of like, you know, it's not as bureaucratic. It's not as political. It's just, hey, you're a developer. You're starting this company. Cool. Let's talk about it. And let's not have any expectations and let's just drink beer, which is why we called it, you know, Tech and Beer. You know, once we did that, and we did it for several years, we started realizing that, you know, it was an institutionalized piece of Blue Wave's culture. And the things that it did for me internally those were our team building, internally our team building events. You know, we'd have to try to figure out how to execute a really cool networking event that was extremely successful. Now, we have different challenges with COVID, of course. That's stifled a lot of that kind of stuff, but we're trying to find new ways to innovate and keep it going. But having some sort of,
let me jump in. I would say that it was cool to see every member of your team there.
Yeah,
at those networking events.
Never forced anybody to be there. They all like, I was like, hey, you guys want to get involved? We're doing it. You know.
Well, I think, and we can kind of take a little divergent path here for a second. It's like, I think your team. So, and like, by the way, I don't think you made it mandatory. Like there's like things that are mandatory, but like, I just think people saw you doing it and they were like, well, if he's doing it and he's that successful, it sounds like a good way for me to be successful and network into my community. So like, I never felt like they were there by force, but I definitely felt like it was like a Blue Wave cultural thing that got
it was. There. And I feel like, you know, people wanting to be involved and wanting to have an impact on their community was, you know, I guess subconsciously kind of built into what our hiring criteria was, you know?
Like, well, you've told me that before, like you only hire people that are highly engaged.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. It's not just good for what they're doing at Blue Wave, but it's good for their own careers, whether they're gonna stay with us forever or, you know, they're going to be here just a few years or whatever it might be. You know, I think focusing on my team growing personally and professionally, it includes them getting involved in community stuff. So
I think you actually got me involved down here more too. I'm a, there's a group, just kind of give you an idea, called Tech Hub South Florida. And I'm one of the chairs for their staffing and recruiting group, right? There's not a lot of staffing agencies because we don't want to like overrun the, the tech companies with people
in
their ear. So that, by the way, that's a really fun balancing act too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yes.
But I think it was you. I think it was kind of like seeing how all the team members at Blue Wave were super engaged. I was like, oh, I should probably get involved.
Yeah, so well, thank good, you. Man. I mean, I think what, I think the thing that, that we realize is like, you'll get overrun with staffing agencies pretty quickly. But what you end up realizing is, are they forced to be there and they're just standing in the corner and not engaging? Or are they actually driving the community initiative? And I think we didn't really go into any of those events with an intention of selling Blue Wave and staffing services. And I don't think a lot of those conversations happened after events, and it wasn't like, hey, go there and work the room and everybody better come out of this thing with a meeting. It was more just like, hey, let's just put a thing together that everybody enjoys and the magic will kind of happen from there. So
people like buying, they don't like being sold.
That's right. Yes. Yes. I think because of what we did with the community and because we've had such a focus, and again, part of our philosophy, Rob, is like, we want to be that recruiting and staffing agency in the high tech space that is very much a branding and marketing company, just happens to do technology and staffing. We also wanted to be that agency that isn't pushy. We wanted to be the agency that, like, when a company's frustrated with that high pressure staffing company, they end up working with Blue Wave and go, ah, this is like totally different experience. You know, you got, like, you're not blowing us up every 2 seconds. You're not like forcing us to take this contractor because they're going to get another offer tomorrow. You know, again, a lot of the things that we have done have been short-term losses, but long-term relationship building gains that give us a good reputation and credibility. And so again, that's all, you know, maybe this conversation is leaning more towards building a culture of a successful firm, you know?
Yeah. And what's interesting, and I don't know if you listened to this episode, but it'd be good, you know, if you have, whenever you're on a drive, it's pretty short. I interviewed a guy named Tim Wellmaker, who was with a similar company out of Atlanta called eHire. Okay. And we basically talked about how giving actually, you know, you get, and like through giving to all of the tech associations in Atlanta, he actually ended up on the, like you did, on the Chamber of Commerce pitch board for new technology companies coming to the area. So it sounds like you have, like the conversation is very similar in my head, and they grew tremendously by giving. So
yeah, we are big financial contributors to many of the organizations. I try not to say no. I mean, sometimes I won't agree to the amount they're asking for, but very rarely. I hope this doesn't give me a flood of of new groups asking for money, but you know, somebody I know really well who is he's a CTO of, he started as CTO of SysRx here in town, and then he made an exit from there and is now CTO of a company in town called Fat Merchant. And he wanted to start the ODEVS group, which is your Orlando Developers group. And he had all these ideas of what he wanted to do. And he's like, we don't have anybody to sponsor or fund us. And I know that you're involved in the community. And I said, how much money do we need? And he's like, well, we need a dedicated Slack channel and we need this and we need a little bit. And so I said, all right, we'll do it. We'll fund it. And he goes, well, what do you want in return? I'm like, just, you know,
make it work.
Yeah.
Make it work.
Make it successful, man.
Make it successful. You
know? Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that we do all the time. I mean, you know, the exposure is great, but that's always like an ancillary thing that comes with it. Like, when you put good out there, when you give, whenever you do work that isn't immediately reciprocating or you're not going to bill for, you end up getting that back. I've found tenfold, which is, I never know when, and I never know how, and I don't really care. And maybe some of it won't, but overall, we are now to a point where, you know, I think every week or every other week, we get at least one new inbound client. Like, hey, can you help us grow our team? And that's different than what I've experienced in the past, you know?
Being more aggressive outbound. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I will say the culture of Blue Wave is much more like a California company than someone who grew up in Missouri like you did.
Hey, everybody's moving. Dude, there's a mass exodus out of California. Oh, I know. Everybody's going east.
I'm just saying the philosophy is like you grew up in Vero Beach or Cocoa Beach or California. You grew up in Missouri, right? I'm not imagining that.
No, well, I did. I was homeschooled. And so half of my time was in Orlando and the other half of my time was in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. So you did, but you had roots. I didn't know you had roots to Orlando.
Yeah. My mom lived here and my dad lived in Kansas City and I went back and forth, you know. I mean, I was in Kansas City more, you know, but Kansas City is a big tech hub today. Well,
it's a big city. I mean,
it's huge. Yeah.
People don't even know it's in Missouri.
including a former president, I think.
Just in general. I was just going to say people in general.
Yeah. You're talking about the great state of Kansas.
The great state of Kansas, where Kansas City is.
Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs and the great state of Kansas. Well, Kansas.
Yeah. We don't need to air any of that. It's just like
make it political.
Some people don't know St. Louis is partly in Illinois, right? So
Well, I mean, what's up with all of the towns being border towns? It's like,
well, I mean, unfortunately, Missouri, as great of a state as it is, really has two big cities. One on one end, one on the other.
And then there's a whole
highway
bunch
that goes through it.
A whole bunch of nothing in the middle, that's for sure.
And then they have the Ozarks, which are pretty cool. So let's not bash Missouri.
Well, I went to Missouri State University, which is in Springfield, Missouri, which is...
Is that in the Ozarks?
The Ozarks.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Good place.
All right, anyway, got off track there. But
yeah, no worries.
Yeah, Kansas City Chiefs. There we go.
Let's go Chiefs.
All right. So do you want to hit on... you know, we really kind of focused on this culture piece, but do you want to hit on a little bit of that fat merchant story that you told me in the pre-call?
Part of the culture that started with getting in community engagement really opened my eyes to see what different companies and what entrepreneurs in the community were doing and trying to raise money. And you know, I've been in the industry for so long that I now have a good group of friends that are all successful in their own rights. You know, some of them own companies, some of them are extremely successful commercial real estate folks. And we decided to start, you know, doing some investing. And Blue Wave does a lot of technology, digital marketing, and sales recruiting, but mostly for high tech, early stage growing companies. It's really where our wheelhouse was. And so I spend a lot of time vetting early stage companies to see if they're going to be viable clients for us. But even more, are they investable companies? Because I was to a point in my career where I was like, you know, I could put money in the stock market. I could put it here. But, you know, I know so much now about growing teams and seeing what leaders can be successful and what can't and whatever, that maybe I should put some money into startups. And so that's really when the investing started in around 2014. And since then, we have seen success from, we won't have to get very specific on what companies this happened with or hasn't happened, but we've been able to now experience investing in a company through an angel group. Then venture capital coming in and infusing a lot of capital into these companies, and then being able to support them from a vendor perspective, because we were there and the first ones to like give to them early, right? And then be able to help support them from a staffing and recruiting and growing their team perspective, and then all the way to exit phase, where we still work with many of them, even though our initial investment has been realized and our exit has already been made. So, you know, it's a very interesting thing being able to not just be such a linear staffing and recruiting company where all we do is staffing and recruiting. You know, it's investing, it's supporting the growth, being consultative. Many a times we have, you know, supported a company and not really charged them that much. We haven't gone market rates just because we didn't want to stunt their growth. And a year or two later, they would come back to us and say, hey, we've got $15, $20 million. We need to hire 40 people from you. And that is the kind of stuff that like is real. We get really excited about because we get to say, look, see that company over there? They're on PitchBook, just put them on their front page. We were there in the beginning and we got to help them grow. And so
it's really the full life cycle of a child almost at that point.
It's the full life cycle of a child. Yeah. From infancy to adolescence to maturity and so on. So, you know, it kind of also kind of goes back to my culture and growing Blue Wave. Like when I first started the company, I didn't just wanted you just staffing. I didn't want to just put butts in seats. I wanted to actually like personally be excited about what we have done and say, we got to be a part of that. And I think our passion and being involved in the full life cycle of it is what's kind of led us to where we are today, you know? And that, ironically, living in that early stage world, while if you are someone who owns a staffing company and you're like, no, that's not for us. We're going straight enterprise. We want big contracts. Well, things have changed in the last 10 years in the staffing and recruiting industry, where now enterprise, actually the buyers in those organizations want to work with firms that are more like us now, that are going to be experienced in building a team that's highly technical, you know, sometimes more than they just want big box commodity staffing. So, you know, it's a little bit different philosophy, but it's been working.
Well, I think there's a natural disruption occurring in the workforce, right? We're like in another workforce. We're in another workforce revolution.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously COVID sped it up. Let's call it what it is.
Well, it was already coming.
Yeah, no, like, but it might have taken another three to seven years to get to what happened in 1 year. Like 1 year was massively disruptive.
Isn't it insane? I mean, we literally would have probably been 3 to 5 year track to get the evolution that has happened in 2020 to a point where every single corporation's mind and hiring strategy and workforce collaboration is office space.
And listen, those commercial real estate guys are like, if anyone was going to be impacted by 2020, you better get their money on their investments quickly.
Yep.
But I don't think they're going to be suffering. There's value in the real estate, but it's going to be a great pivot time. So
it's flexible workspace is kind of the new future, yeah. Right? That's got to be it. Flexible. Look at a company called DeskPass, everyone. Yeah. Not that I'm invested
in. Is that a Blue Wave IP company?
I like DeskPass. That's
there's
the
some
future.
Small ones. There's some startup ones down here too. There's like a 1909 up in Palm Beach.
Yeah. Well, DeskPass is a company that I really liked because, and we invested in it because, you know, that company that was like GymPass or something where whatever city you were at, ClassPass. You had access. What's it called?
ClassPass.
That's right. ClassPass. Yeah. So this is the same concept except for workspace.
Awesome. Is it like $250 a month though? Cause you could have did that with a WeWork.
It is. It was like $250 a month, but it was like, I used to take trips to Atlanta all the time. We have a lot of business in Atlanta. It's only like a couple hour flight from Orlando. And the problem that I would have is, yes, I could go to an Industrious or a WeWork and do a day pass or something like that. But my meeting might be in like Alpharetta. And if there's not a WeWork or an Industrious, whatever partnership you have, I couldn't, you know, I was always in a coffee shop or a bar. I don't know how many times.
Wait,
you know,
is DeskPass giving you access to all of those?
Yeah, so DeskPass, what I thought was cool about that and this new flexible workspace that's happening in the future is like let's say maybe I'm just a large organization. Let's say I'm Accenture, or let's say I'm Salesforce in Atlanta, because that's where they're headquartered, right?
Yeah.
Salesforce might have scaled down their in-person or physical office space, and maybe they have 20,000 square foot they're underutilizing. They have now a way through DeskPass, a way to monetize that additional extra space, you know, bandwidth, overhead.
Like,
yeah.
Physical bandwidth.
So as long as you can like provide coded access and credentials for people, basically you can go and squat in all these open offices for the monthly fee, which is kind of cool.
That's actually a little more valuable because the thing is getting adoption from the offices or the commercial real estate people, but it sounds like that's going to be a good viable option. So for all of my commercial real estate and Charlie's commercial real estate friends, check out.
Get on DeskPass.
We just did a full advert unknowingly. We did. Sorry, guys. That was not the intention. No, but I mean, it is part of the conversation, right? Like the digital transformation. That's just super fascinating. But I think that's a much better model than a WeWork or Industrious, by the way, just thinking about it and digesting it for a second. Digital transformation. So what I was trying to get to, going back to where I started with that initial comment,
is,
these large companies might prefer working with a smaller company because you know how to hire people that know how to work remotely, how to be scrappy, right? A little gritty. Mm-hmm. But also just might be disruptors and might have other skill sets that are not like, you know, I work for another 5-person company now, right? Or 6-person company. Maybe there's 10 if you count part-times. And we interact with large companies sometimes, and it's, you know, no offense, but it's almost like, oh, we're dealing with robots. We're dealing with the culture of robot. So I don't know if those are going to be useful in the future when everyone's remote and like you just need yes men in the office. And I'm terrible at that, by the way. So
yeah,
admittedly so.
Some of the value that some of the big enterprise firms, I call them big box staffing, right? Some of the value that they really brought was reach and volume. Those are some of the two things that they always tout, that, you know, Blue Wave can't do the reach and the volume that we have, right? We're in California, we're here, we're there, we've got tons of reach. And that's good. I mean, that's fine. But the way the workforce is today, technology is automating a lot of the initial process of the sourcing and the initial contacting, right? Yep. You can get a hold of anybody now. It's just tools to do it for you. So really the value that these companies, even the bigger companies, want now is the consultative and the consulting experience that we've had seeing technology teams build from scratch, seeing what hurdles they've had to overcome, and being able to understand if somebody's kind of like has that grit to be able to execute on whatever.
Soft skills and grit.
It's really what it is. And that's what they want to hire today. And the volume, we can get to the same volume now. We can get to anybody, and the landscape of where people work has changed. So I think
just kind of sum up what you just said, right? Like, it's traditionally the larger the staffing firm, the more people they had calling in more geographies.
Yeah.
Automation makes all of that mute because you don't need humans to make phone calls. You can make your 10-person sales team act like a 100-person sales team very easily if you know how to automate correctly. So.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody kind of now, back in the day, they used to tout databases. It was all about, I feel like when I was selling, it was all about who.
Did you ever say that to somebody? We have a database of 100. Did you ever say, please tell me, come on, please tell me.
I never did, because I was a super early adopter of LinkedIn. I felt like, I mean, so we're talking like 07, 08, maybe. In that time frame, LinkedIn was there, but it wasn't like what it is today. You know, and I was begging everyone. I remember every conversation that I would have, I'd be like, hey, you ever heard of LinkedIn? You want to get on LinkedIn? Now, LinkedIn is making me pay for that today because they charge the living heck out of me. I don't want to get into that.
He almost threw his pen.
the amount of money that I spend on LinkedIn annually, but
you and every other staffing company that does what you do, don't worry.
I mean, it's because you know what? It's the playing field's level. Like we're all digitally out there now. And so the size of your database doesn't matter. Really, the differentiator and what makes a firm successful today is how you can position yourself with a candidate and convince them that your opportunity is the best opportunity. And then as a firm, you better hope that your opportunities have a richness of quality so that you're not presenting all the dog companies out there. Not that there's a lot of them, but there are a few. And we've all ran across some bad environments that we decided we didn't want to work with. John, I'd put you here, but you're going to quit in a week, so I'm not going to do it. So we've focused on just building a really stellar client list, companies that we like and want to work with. And that's kind of worked for us, you know?
So what would you say? We gotta get going in a second here, but what would you say to someone who early stage staffing company, just getting started, what advice would you give them? And you're probably going to say like, don't worry about making money, but that might not be a reality. So don't put that in your statement. What would you say?
Yeah. Well, that is part of my statement.
All right, go ahead. Really. Say what you're going to say. Sorry for ruining your statement.
I mean, you know, you're going to go out there and you have to just put in and give a lot, contribute your time. Don't try to make everything you do be so reciprocating. You know, it's not everything's this for that directly. It's, you know, put yourself out there, donate to your community, try to figure out how to get involved. And then when people want to work with you or ask for your advice, be genuine. There's been times where I have told clients, I could place those people for you, but knowing what I know about digital marketing, you don't need all those people. You probably need this person and this person, and they would be able to handle it all. And if you need more, we can go from there. So try not to always just be so self-serving and do the best for your clients, whether or not that is beneficial for you. And I promise the long-term reputation that's really all about reputation. That's really all it comes down to, man. It's like, be a good person, give to your community. Don't try to pillage every client for every dollar you can get out of them, because it's in your interest. Because the money will come if you just treat the clients right, you know? And, you know, just to summarize that, that's kind of
that's a good spot to end, right?
Yeah.
The full Gary V, give a lot and use a jab whenever, you know, when it's appropriate.
Yeah.
The hook, the jabs are more important, right? Just keep jabbing.
Yeah.
Give. And then you can throw the right hook is probably how you would say that. So,
yeah.
But it's been great chatting. I'm not going to ask you how to get in contact with you. If you want to find Charlie, you can do so on LinkedIn. It's Charlie Lewis. Cause if I give your email address, people are going to be asking you for money.
Sure. Find me on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yeah. Find Charlie on LinkedIn. And thank you so much, man, for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's good connecting with you, man. Thanks for having me on here.
All right, cheers.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.